In the name of Jesus, amen. The text for the message this morning is the scripture lesson read just a minute ago. It's the end of the semester here at Concordia Seminary, and so let me start with this. Imagine you walk into class, you students, and the professor begins to talk about the topic you'll take up next week. And he'll be wondering whether you'll have your assignment in then. You might think to yourself, what kind of question is that? Doesn't he know that the semester ends this week? And then you might get afraid. Or imagine this. A student walks into the class this week, raises his or her hand, and asks, is the final exam optional? What kind of question is that? John the Baptist has a question. He has a question of Jesus. He's in prison, so he has to send a couple of disciples to ask Jesus, but he has a question. Are you the one to come, or should we expect somebody else? What kind of question is that? John the Baptist, of all people, should have known. He was the one who fulfilled the scripture. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, before the Lord, to prepare your way. And that's what John did. He went out into the wilderness and preached that the rule and reign of the heavens was coming. John went out into the wilderness and he baptized those who would repent. John went out into the wilderness and people followed him. And when the Pharisees and the Sadducees happened to come out too, he identified them. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And then when Jesus showed up at the Jordan River, John knew who he was. When Jesus asked to be baptized, John tells him, I should be baptized by you, and you want me to baptize you? Now, if anyone would know that Jesus was supposed to be the one to come, you would think it would be John. And yet he has this question, are you really the one? Or is there somebody else coming later? Now, preachers, teachers, pastors, hearers, and readers of the gospel have wondered this for a long time. In the early church, many of those who wrote about this and preached about this said John really wasn't asking for himself. John knew. He was asking, for instance, for his disciples, that they would see Jesus for themselves, that they would hear him, and that they would come to believe. But the way that Matthew tells this, there's no reason to take that position. Just ask Jesus. How does he handle the question? Like John wants to know. Go back and tell John what you hear and see. Now, it is understandable that John might wonder. After all, according to the gospel, Jesus does not start to preach, Jesus does not start to do wonders until John is arrested. According to Matthew, Jesus was still up in Nazareth when John was arrested and put in prison. It was only after that that Jesus moves to Capernaum by the sea, and from that time on, he begins to proclaim, saying, repent, for the rule and reign of the heavens is at hand. And it was only after John was arrested and put in prison that Jesus started to go around all of Galilee, throughout their towns and their villages, going into synagogues and teaching, walking around and healing, proclaiming the coming of God's rule and reign. The crowd started to come from all over Galilee and the Decapolis, from Jerusalem and Judea, from places on the other side of the Jordan. Crowds start to follow. Seeing them one day, Jesus sits down on a mountain and opens his mouth and starts to say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the rule and reign of the heavens. And the crowds still came. Jesus preached, Jesus taught. Jesus cast out evil spirits. Jesus cleansed lepers. Jesus healed all kinds of diseases and infirmities. And it happens, and it happens, and it happens. And Jesus looks out, and he sees that these people are like sheep without a shepherd. He tells the disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest, to send workers into the harvest. And then he sends the 12 disciples out with power over unclean spirits and tells them to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of heaven and to cast out demons and heal the sick. And then Jesus goes on his way. Now, all this has been happening while John has been in prison. And when John proclaimed Jesus, he proclaimed him as a mighty one. He proclaimed him as the one who would baptize, who would wash with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Oh, there would be fire. He would gather his wheat into his barn, but the rest he would burn with unquenchable fire. John apparently did not see, did not smell any smoke, did not see any fire. And perhaps he was wondering, is he really the one to come, or is there somebody else? Well, Jesus' answer is in what he did. Go back and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. No, he was indeed the one to come. Before Jesus was born, when Mary was found to be with child and Joseph wanted to put her aside, an angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, "Don't do that." Right? The child that Mary will bear is from the Holy Spirit. No, you give him this name, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And that's what Jesus was doing. Saving his people from their sins and from all of its effects. Saving his people, the people of Israel, from all of their sins and everything that would bring. Illness, infirmity, uncleanness, evil, death. Now, Jesus, in responding to John, adds this, "Blessed is everyone, blessed are those who are not offended by me." And Jesus knew, and Jesus begins to speak about this right after that, oh, there were plenty who were offended by him. John came as a prophet and more than a prophet, but how was he treated? He has an evil spirit. "The Son of Man comes," Jesus said, "and he eats and drinks." And what do people say? "He's a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." And then he pronounces denunciation, condemnation to the towns and villages. Chorazin, Bethsaida. "If the things that I have done were done in, say, Tyre and Sidon, up with the Gentiles, with the pagans, oh, they would have repented." Capernaum. "If the mighty works I had done had been done in Sodom, Sodom would be here to this day." No, people were taking offense at Jesus. They were taking offense at who he was and what he was doing. And on them, there would indeed be judgment. There would be fire. There would be damnation. But people stayed offended at Jesus. He was rejected, and he was crucified. Was he the one to come? Hanging on the cross, it did not look that way. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead. On the third day, God brought Jesus back. Jesus really was the one to come. And as the risen Lord He commanded his disciples to make disciples, not just of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but of all nations, of all kinds of people, and that includes you. Make disciples baptizing, and for all of you who have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the one to come to bring life and salvation is your Lord. And the promise of healing and of wholeness and of life and of righteousness, that is yours too. Now, is Jesus the one to come, or should we expect somebody else? Is actually still a relevant question because Jesus did not finish what he started. Just look at the prayer list at your church. There's sickness. There's infirmity. There's uncleanness. There's evil. There's death. I looked this morning at the statistics about COVID-19. Infection rates are up in the United States. The current rate of death, according to the website I looked at, is about one American, one U.S. person in the U.S. dying every minute. And that's just from COVID-19. There have been pandemics before. There will be pandemics to come. And then the other diseases and the injuries and the evil and the uncleanness. There's still a lot of dying. There's still a lot of death. And you're not immune from that, and you know it. So the good news is, Jesus is the one who will come again. I have no explanation for why there remains illness and injury, infirmity, dying, death, along with evil, violence, uncleanness, oppression, injustice. I have no answer for that. I have no explanation, but I do have a promise, and I make it in the name of Jesus. He will come again. And when he comes again, there will be life. There will be peace. There will be wholeness. There will be righteousness. And it will be yours forever and ever. And so in this season of Advent, when we contemplate, reflect on, let us also rejoice. Not only that Christ came once, but that Christ is coming again for you, for your life, for your eternal life. That I tell you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We rise to pray.